So does Moby Dick hold any significance for you?
Yeah, you are a very clever girl.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
Frequent listeners of this podcast know that I cannot roll my R's. I can't trill my R's. Sometimes I can't even say my R's. So when I say I spoke with Olga Tokarczuk, pretend I pronounced it correctly, like this.
Olga Tokarczuk.
Olga Tokarczuk is the author of Flights, winner of the Man Booker International Prize, which is awarded to the best work of translated fiction from anywhere in the world. She shares this year's prize with the book's translator, Jennifer Croft, and Flights was chosen from more than 100 submissions. Tokarczuk has been labeled as one of Europe's most imaginative writers, and with Flights, new readers in the States are beginning to understand why. I recently spoke with her about Flights and the translation process. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. I wanted to talk a little bit about the book. So it's not a traditional narrative, but instead it goes from story to vignette, back to story in almost a nomadic fashion. And I read that you called Flights your constellation novels. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Uh-huh. Oh, it was rather a joke, this constellation novel term, which I invented to try to show that the way of narratives is different. And it's still realistic for me because it reflects the new circumstances we are living in. So we don't live anymore in such a linear reality like in 19th century or like on the beginning of 20th century, that you have beginning and then the climax and the end of something. We are rather, our today experience is rather jumping from one place, one information to the other, zipping from one TV channel to the other, from one airport to another one somewhere in a different place. So I try to reflect in this book this kind of reality, which is fragmented, chaotic for the first sight, and very demanding, because we as a humans, we have to just make to find a bigger, broader sense for those our small fragmented experiences.
Now, because this isn't necessarily a linear book, it can really be picked up and read at random almost. And there were so many instances where I would stop and think, holy cow, she got that exactly right. Like in, so the story, I hope I get this right. Is it pronounced Kunitsky?
Kunitsky, uh-huh.
Kunitsky, okay. So in Kunitsky Water 2, you described after an acceleration in a boat, you know, when the boat sped up, you described the water as stiffening. And even though, you know, the water properties didn't change, I thought that's exactly what it feels like. It feels like the water is stiffening. Or in airports, when you described airports as a special category of city-state with a stable location but citizens in flux, or, you know, even trains for cowards, they mm-hmm. all just rang true for me when I was reading them. So I was curious, how much time did you spend, you know, in airports or on trains or on boats, you know, in order to formulate such an exacting read on humans as travelers?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a very intensive time for me, traveling and making this research about history of anatomy during my research, during my travels. But I think that this is this kind of constellation thinking, that when you have a fragment, try to be very detailed in the fragment. Try in this fragment we be sharp and just grasp something which is so fluent and unclear, and try to use your language to verbalize it and to make it, you know, obvious. So this is the task of literature, I think. Yeah.
Now, I noticed in that story in Kunitsky, as a book rep, one of the books he was selling was titled Constellations. Was that kind of a nod of sorts to this idea?
Yeah, this is the proof of those small connections in the book, associations screws inside the text, which keep the text as an entire body, keep everything together, hunk them, those small pieces together. So that's fine that you noticed such a small thing, because book, you mentioned on the beginning that you can read nearly randomly those small parts of the text, but it would be better to read from beginning to the end, because then you will have entire construction of the text, because the text is carefully connected inside, underground, in a way. So, yeah, carefully a reader can see such a small bridges and paths from one part to the other.
That makes sense then, that's mm-hmm. that's the way I should read it. Because I noticed, you know, there was another pattern that repeated was Poseidon. And then a couple of different places in the book you mentioned, the book mentioned Melville's Moby Dick. And the first was in a piece titled New Athens. And the narrator named it as one of two books in which he or she had remained faithful. And then the other one was in Ash Wednesday Feast. Or that was another one anyway. And it was the story of Eric. So does Moby Dick hold any significance for you?
Yeah, you are a very clever girl. I think that Moby Dick is important book for everybody. It was written many years ago, but it is done in a. This is this kind of book I like to read very much, because this is something underneath going, and there is a book about really. Mystery, so everything is not told directly, but reader can be very aware and very careful to read this book. And I think that this book, Moby Dick, nowadays is a great metaphor of human uneasiness or endlessly looking for something, and all those emotions connected with this. So for me, we are living in the pop culture, and which is Anglo-Saxon. I would like to say that Anglo-Saxon culture is very important for over the world. So I grew up on American, British literature. So Moby Dick became for me this kind of metaphor of a man, in a way. The first association I have, because I would like to use the big, important literary universal text in this book to have a kind of reference. So the first idea was Moby Dick from the beginning. So it's really, I think that this is the right place for this book in my book, and I'm really happy that I can, in a way, renew some meanings of this book in my book. That writing is always a discussion with tradition, so I am very strong in it.
Now, did you have anything to do with the selection of the illustrations that were in the book? I noticed that they are from the Agile Rabbit book of historical and curious maps,
mm-hmm.
but especially that first one with the rivers. I mean, I'm 50, so I have to wear reading glasses, but I even had to get a magnifying glass out to see exactly what I was looking at, and then I just found it phenomenal. So did you select the illustrations?
Yes, that was my part of my writing job, because I like illustration in the text, and I think that nowadays we sometimes forgot this beautiful art of connecting text and picture. And so also in Jacob's book, my next book, and in another my books, the illustrations are the often guests, but this time I found out this very special book in Amsterdam, somewhere in a small bookstore, and I was sure from the beginning that it suit to my text, my book, very much. And this is not even illustration; it's rather, you know, like helping to reader to make his or her imagination more alive, I would say, because many of those maps are not described. You have only just an image, the lines, the image of something which is tri-dimensional, and now you can see this as a two-dimensional picture in this book. So I think that those maps are refreshing imagination of my readings, of my readers, sorry.
No, I agree. I absolutely loved them. Now, I could pick apart, you know, each of your pieces for weeks, but instead I'd kind of like to talk to you about your writing and your translation. You are well known in Europe. You're referred to as one of Europe's most imaginative authors. Do you write in Polish?
Of course, I'm writing Polish.
Okay.
There is only one language I can really use as a material for literature.
Okay. Now, like most people outside of the United States, it seems, you probably speak a variety of languages, including English. I mean, I would not be able to do an interview like you are doing right now. So what do you think of the translation? Do you get to review the work as the translation is in progress? And, I mean, maybe you see something and you say, that wasn't exactly what I meant. Were you able to be part of that process of the translation with Jennifer Croft?
I'm lucky that I have Jennifer and also Antonia Lloyd-Jones. She's British and she translated my another book, which will be next year here. So they are very clever women and they are really talented, because literary translation is not just, changing one language into the other, but this is rather connected with the entire culture. So Jennifer Croft is a writer herself, and she is very talented in languages. She also translates from Spanish, and she's very good what she's doing in. So knowledge of my English, of English of mine, is not enough to value her translation. I trust her. And I know that she did the best. And as far I can notice only that the text in English is fluent and beautiful and light, and I really have a pleasure to read it.
Have you ever translated a piece into Polish?
What do you mean?
Have you ever translated some other book into Polish? Have you ever?
Me?
Yes.
Personally? No, of course not. No.
Okay.
I am not so talented. I think that it is a very special talent, very rare. But I have my books were translated into many languages, and I'm always, no, not always, but mostly I am in a very good contact with my translators. So they used to ask me many times about something, or explain some details, or clarify something. So, yeah. This is a kind of family of people working on the book.
That was Olga Tokarczuk, author of the book Flights, which was published by Riverhead Books. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. You can discover more episodes at kmuw.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Marginalia is produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.